hearts right and prepared. So bow your heads. Father, we thank you for Pastor John. We ask you right now that you would use him as a mouthpiece for your word, Father. You'd speak through him. And we also pray that you'd be with us to allow us to receive what you want us to hear and just be able to touch our lives and change something in us. And we just ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Throughout this year, as you know, we've been talking about what? The wonderful gift that God has given us, the Holy Spirit. And in particular, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit that we find in Galatians 5:22, and it says there that we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And one of the things that I find so amazing about this fruit is that every one of them are intertwined or interconnected with all the others. You really can't separate what God wants to do with each one of those fruit. We can't just pick and choose, because what they are is the fruit of the Spirit is really the character of God. And we can't, if we're trying to grow, you know, and become what God wants us, we can't pick and choose what parts of God we want in our life. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. So if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and we're going to be, you know, led by the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit, that means that all of this fruit should be growing and developing and maturing in every one of our lives, at least to some degree. You know, and it's a process. We don't get it all at once just because we get saved or just because we get filled with the Spirit. We don't have all that fruit in its, you know, mature all at once. It's a process, just like growing fruit is, you know, and that's what we're dealing with. But God's desire is that every one of us be transformed into the image of His Son Jesus with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And Hebrews 1:3 tells us that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. So, and Jesus Himself said it, in fact, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So, you see, when Jesus came, He was the exact representation. And if you remember, it says He was filled with the Spirit without measure. And now, when Jesus was getting ready to leave, He said, it's a good thing that I'm going, because now I'm going to send the promised Holy Spirit. And so now that we have the Holy Spirit, now it's our turn to start to be transformed, to take on that image, to become like Jesus, growing from glory to glory, you know, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we are now to become His representative. We are representing, just like Jesus, it said, was the exact representation of God. Now we are becoming this representation of Christ. We are to represent Him, re-present Him. Again, as other people, as He presented Himself, now we present Him. And we begin to share Jesus with people as the Holy Spirit brings that character of God through us. Is that rain? I guess it is, huh? Wow, it's the Holy Spirit. Right when I started talking about Him, what do you know? Now, of course, through the carnal nature, through our human nature, if we try to do this, if we try to share God, represent God, we're going to fail miserably. Our carnal nature cannot pull it off. The only way we can do that is through the Holy Spirit. This is why God has given us the Spirit. This is why He's telling us that as the Holy Spirit is working in us, we're going to start to see this fruit developing. So today, we're going to continue on with our series. We've already gone through quite a few, and now we're going to be looking at faithfulness. What is this fruit that's called faithfulness? Well, in Greek, the word is pistis. And it means trustworthy, reliable, dependable, steadfast, loyal, consistent, unfailing, trustworthy, enduring. You get the idea. It's this faithfulness that just goes on and something you can count on. And all of those different traits that I just described, they're all different facets, different shades, different aspects of faithfulness. And what they do is we look at those words, it gives us a little bit of a glimpse into God's faithfulness, into God's character. And we need to remember that God is good. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. I finished up on goodness. And we saw that God being good, perfection, that all those traits and all the different fruit, all the different traits of God, every one of them are matured and developed. They're not. He didn't even have to develop them. They're already there. In us, they're maturing and developing. In Him, they are at the highest level of perfection. There's no lack in any virtue of God, in any character trait of God. Every character trait of God is good. And every character trait of God is at the max. God's not going to be better tomorrow. He's not growing. He's not getting better. He's already the best. He's already good. He's already perfect. So Malachi 3:6 tells us, I, the Lord, do not change. How can perfection improve? It can't. So God doesn't change. He'll never change. Our job is to change, to become more like Him. Faithfulness is a very important aspect of God's character. In all that He is, in all that God does, everything about Him, He is faithful. God is faithful. We can count on God. In Exodus 34:6, God Himself proclaimed to Moses that He was abounding in faithfulness. In Psalm 100, verse 5, we're told that His faithfulness continues through all generations. It just keeps going and going and going. And that faithfulness just keeps, it just keeps on and on and on. And one of my favorites, in Psalm 89:8, it says, Who is like You, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty. And Your faithfulness surrounds you. Your faithfulness surrounds you. His faithfulness surrounds every part of His character. His faithfulness surrounds everything He does. His faithfulness is surrounding every fruit, every aspect of who He is. He's faithful in love. He's faithful in mercy. He's faithful in justice. He's faithful in goodness. He's faithful in kindness. He's faithful in truth. He's faithful in forgiveness. He's faithful in everything. Everything that He does, He is faithful. God will never slack. God will never quit. God never backs down. He never gives up. God could never be any less than completely and totally faithful. Why is this faithfulness so important? Well, think about it. If God is our Creator, which He is, He is the one who made everything out of nothing. And we're told in Hebrews 1:3 that He sustains everything. He holds together everything by the power of His Word. You know, this podium right here, the pews you're sitting in, our bodies themselves, they seem very solid to us. But the truth is down inside there, at levels that we can't see with the human eye, and I'm sure you've heard about it, there are atoms. There are, you know, electrons and protons. There are nanoparticles. There's all kinds of things in there that these things are moving around. They actually are. It's like a beehive of activity in everything that there is. And at a certain level, you could actually pass through that if you were small enough. Because it's really not that solid. So what would happen if whatever it is that's holding that together stopped holding it together? And whatever it is God. It's God who holds everything together. God. What if God just decided to take a break? And everything started to dissolve or fall apart. What if God just decided, I think I'll play a trick on them and suspend gravity for a week? We'd have to tie ourselves down or we'd be out in space. We'd be lost in space. What if the sun floated away to another galaxy? We'd all be dead. What if God's word was no longer true? That it was just another book like any other book? What if God shut down the offer of salvation, said, that's it, it's done, I'm tired? What if he just left and said, you know what, from now on they're on their own, I'm sick of this? Every one of those things would be a disaster. Any one of them would be a disaster. But we can relax because God is faithful. And these things, they go on and they go on. And we're told that the sun will rise, the sun will set, the seasons will change, the tide will go in and out. This is the way that life is. God is faithful. He is faithful to maintain the order, the structure, the stability, the firmness, the foundation, the things that he has put together, he holds them together because he is faithful. Let's look at a few of the ways that God is faithful to us. Probably the most recognized area, and the one that we like the most of the time, that we think about in terms of his faithfulness, are God's promises. Well, starting all the way back in Genesis, Genesis 15:4, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, this was to Abram, and he told Abram, after Ishmael was born, that this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. So he took him outside and he said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them, which obviously he couldn't. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now see, that was, Abraham was one of the people of faith. And because of his faith, he was made righteous, because he believed God. Abram believed God. He had faith in God's word. He had faith in God's faithfulness. See, God told him, I'm going to give you a son. When he was 99 years old, he said, I'm going to give you a son. And you know, Abram, he laughed. Sarah laughed. We're 99 years old. Not only are we not going to have a son, but we don't even know if we want a son at this point. I mean, how many of you, if you were 99 years old, want to have a new kid to start all over with? Not me. You know, that's a little bit much. But what we were talking about was Isaac. And if you know the story, there was Isaac, then there was Jacob, then there were the 12 sons and the 12 tribes. And yes, in fact, the descendants became so numerous, and then the children of the promise ended up being transferred over to us. And now we are the children of the promise because God's faithfulness. A little bit later in that same chapter, Genesis 15, In verse 18, it says, "On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land from the wall of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates.'" What was he talking about? You know the name of that land? What was it called? The Promised Land. God promised them that land. It was called the Promised Land. And if you remember the story, remember that guy Joshua? He went in there and went to Jericho and the walls tumbled down. That was just the beginning of a great adventure where the Israelites took the Promised Land. They didn't do it on their own. There was no way those walls just happened to fall down when Joshua drove by. It was God who did it. God did it, every aspect of it, because God was faithful. We have something that was called the Old Covenant. The law and the covenant. And then when Jesus came, he established a new covenant. Those are both promises of God. And we know that God is faithful. The Holy Spirit was promised to us. Did God come through on that promise? Yes, he did. We saw that soon after Jesus died, when the apostles and the disciples were gathered together in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came down. And then we saw all throughout the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was being poured out like crazy, and even to this day, the Holy Spirit is still alive and well and working in us because God is faithful. He's faithful in His promises. Ephesians 1:13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." The promised Holy Spirit. Another example of God's faithfulness, we find it in Jesus. Jesus was a tremendous example of faithfulness. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, he proclaims to be the faithful and true witness. He's faithful. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling," would that be us? Right? Yeah. "Fix your thoughts on Jesus." Focus on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. Jesus. It's Scripture tells us that, of course we know it, but the Scripture is telling us that Jesus was faithful. He was faithful to do all the work that God had called him to do. He was faithful to the very end, even unto death. He never ran from his calling. He never ran from his purpose. He came to be a sacrifice. He came. He humbled himself and he became obedient, even unto death. He became a human. He set aside his godhood for a while and became a human. He suffered tremendously, not only in the physical, but in the spirit as he took on the weight of all the sin, not only of all the world, but of all time. All the sin. You think about all the evil that people do in this world. And you imagine if you had to be responsible for just the evil on your block, or maybe in your city, or maybe in your state, or your country, or the whole world, and then all the way back to the beginning, and then all the way down into the future forever. Wow. That's a lot of weight. That's a lot of pain. That's a lot of suffering for someone to willingly take on. That person to do that would have to be mighty faithful, wouldn't he? And that's who Jesus was. Because of his faithfulness, we get to enjoy the fruit of his work, the full benefits of his finished work on the cross, our salvation, forgiveness of sin. Another way that God is faithful to us is through his word. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Isn't that something? He's telling us that our life needs to be dependent on his word. That this word is something that is so very special. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." I remember quite a while ago, I moved to Boston. I went there on my own, and I was going to school. I was there for a couple months on my own before Carol moved there, and I had lots of free time because I was there alone. So I was reading the Bible voraciously. In fact, the NIV version had just come out. I had just gotten that version of the Bible, and I was all excited because I had been looking for it, and I bought it at a bookstore there called Logos over on Commonwealth Street. And so I got it home at my apartment, and I was reading, and I was reading, and I was reading hours and hours a day. I was devouring that word. And, you know, it's one thing to be able to understand the word of God, which, you know, I was saved. God was speaking to me through his word. But every once in a while, something happens that God does to us where literally, we talked a little bit about this Wednesday, in fact, literally the heavens open up, and for a moment, we get a glimpse of everything. You know, I don't know if you've ever had that happen. You get this amazing sense of revelation that God gives you about something that changes your whole life. And when I was reading that word, it was just a simple, simple statement where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you." And when he said that, I was right there with him. And I just remember thinking that, "Thank you so much that you've given me this book, that I can have a book of truth, that his word that is never changing, his word that is always right, this word, this book that we have that is, it's the most amazing, the smartest, the most wise, whatever you want to call it. There is nothing that compares to the Word of God. It is life itself. When we read that book, it can give us life. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And when we have this revelation that Word is true, that I can live by that Word, because we all say it, and I was right there too. We can all say, "Oh, the Word, that's the Word of God. Yeah, oh, it's true, sure it is." But is it so true to us that we take it and run with it? Is it that true to us? Would it be that true, like if somebody said, "I just planted an explosive device under your podium right now, and in 30 seconds it's going off." Now, if I knew that was true, I'd be screaming, "Get out, get out, get out." But if I didn't believe it, "Well, I don't see anything. I'm going to stay here." And then all of a sudden, see, there's a difference between saying that it's the truth and even accepting it, but does it become true to us where we live it? And the Word of God is so faithful It's trustworthy. It never, ever will lead us astray. It won't. You can take any area of your life and take whatever your problem is, whatever your issues are, and you can go to that word and you can find some advice. It may not speak to your toaster being broken or, you know, to having to get gas. I mean, it doesn't speak to every single specific issue. But when we face a problem, there's nothing new under the sun, the word tells us. Every problem is still somewhat of a problem that those kind of cares or concerns are somehow dealt with in the Word of God. And then on top of that, as we're reading the Word, it's like the Holy Spirit works through that Word and jumps out at us and sometimes literally tells us where to go get our toaster fixed. I remember one time I was at work. I was at the fire department. And I was laying down in the bed. It was nighttime. We get to lay down there at night. I'm laying in bed. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, and I was thinking about God, and I was just sort of laying there, and all of a sudden, I hear a word. Plain as day. It's the dryer sheets. And I'm thinking, what? It's the dryer? What in the world? What are you trying to say? Well, I had forgotten that Carol was having a problem with a rash. And she didn't know what it was. She changed her laundry soap. She was trying, you know, like different oils and different things like that. And so I got this word. It's the dryer. So I went home and I told her. I says, you know what? I got a word from God for you. It's the dryer sheets. And she goes, what? And I said, I says, that's where your rash is coming from, your itching, you know? And so she quit doing it, and she realized that was it. It was the perfume. It was the perfume in the dryer sheets. So if you got a rash and you're using those things, that's what it could be. So God can give us, you know, any answer, because God is truth and God is faithful. And He cares about little things like that. Psalm 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does." Psalm 119:89 says, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." 1 Peter 1:25, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever." What an amazing thing. God's faithful word. We talked earlier about how God is at work in us, transforming, changing us. And this is something that, like I said, it's a process. It's a process that started the day we got saved and will continue on until the day we die. And it's called sanctification. That's what it's really about. And it means that the Holy Spirit is working in you and He is building us and cultivating us. He's developing us into a mature Christian. Because God is faithful in His sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through," or completely. "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." Man, I was looking at that again last night. That whole idea about the truth of the Word came back to me again, and I thought, man, that is a wonderful scripture. It really is. The God of peace is going to sanctify you through and through. And the one who called you is faithful. He will do it. Talk about an encouraging word. Paul is praying there in the beginning of that, for our complete sanctification. He's praying for us that God would preserve us until the day we die, that we'd be sanctified and then preserved, that we would stay blameless. But then he finishes with this bold statement that he knows to be true because he knows and he understands because he's seen and experienced the faithfulness of God. So he starts out with that prayer, and then he makes that statement, and he says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. God is faithfully carrying out his part in the building of our Christian character. This is what he's working on in us. His faithfulness guarantees that the Holy Spirit is working inside of every single one of us. He's transforming us so that day after day after day, we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And God is not like some of us, me included, like all of us, who begin a project and then we find ourselves running into maybe too many problems. And we get overwhelmed. And then we sort of lose interest. Or we become impatient and we quit. God's not like that. God's not a quitter. He doesn't jump from one project to the next and not finish the job. He never starts a project and then figures out halfway through the project that he doesn't have the resources to finish it, like the foolish builder that we read about in Luke 14:29. God's resources are limited. He will give us all that we need. We might do this. We might quit. We might give up. We might get bored. We might be overwhelmed, but God won't. He never stops until he's finished. And he doesn't finish until he is satisfied with the work that he started. There's no half-completed failures in God's workshop. All we need to do on our part is we need to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. That's our job. And if we do that, our God, our Creator, will mold us and He'll perfect us. Remember, He's the potter and we're the clay. He'll mold us and perfect us because the one who called you is faithful and He will do it. Another area that God is faithful to us is in our trials. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God knows what we're made of. He knows our temperament. He knows our abilities. He knows where we're weak. He knows where we're strong. And He knows exactly what we're going through at any given time in our life. And we say, oh God, not now. And God is up there because He says, oh yeah, right now. Because He knows the right time. And He knows precisely how much we can handle at that right time. Better than we ever could. And He allows us to go through things to make us stronger. Not so we give up. Not so we fail. He brings us through these things so we become stronger. So we see His faithfulness. So we see His, you know, His help. So we see His hand in the matter. He'll always be there for us. He's told us that He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll always help us. It says to when you are tempted, He will provide a way out. So He'll show us the way out of a dangerous situation. Think of Joseph when Potiphar's wife tried to get him. He found a way out. He ran out. He'll show us the way through. He'll show us how to deal with it. Whatever it is, He will give us the grace or the strength to endure. Remember, Paul said, I prayed 3 times for God to do this, to take something from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient. So one way or another, our faithful God will see us through whatever it is we go through. And that's what we need to be aware of and count on. We have His word that He'll be there for us. We have to have faith in Him, the faithful one. And one last area I want to look at is concerning God's faithfulness is in forgiveness. If God was not faithful in honoring His promise to forgive our sins, then you know what? Then nothing else I've talked about would even matter. Think about it. If God was not faithful in forgiving our sins, then who cares? Why would we even care who God was? Why would we care about this word? Why would we care about doing anything for God? If we don't, our sins aren't forgiven, you know what that means? We're not saved. That means we're going to burn in fire. So then I may as well just do whatever I want, right? But see, God is faithful. He is faithful. And He's faithful in forgiving our sins. Without, we would be the most miserable person on the planet without God forgiving our sins. We'd be no better than the worst person on the planet if God didn't forgive our sins. But that's not the way it is. Even when we blow it, even when we turn away, God still doesn't give up on us. You know that? God is patient. He gives us an opportunity to repent. There's actually a bunch of scriptures that talk about God's patience, giving time for us to turn and to repent. There's a scripture here in 2 Timothy 2:13 that says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. For He cannot disown Himself. He can't deny who He is. In other words, God's faithfulness is not dependent on me being faithful. God's faithfulness is not dependent on me being good. God is faithful no matter what. And if He said, in what I said in, or what it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, if God said that, you know what? That means that God means that. That He is faithful and just. And He'll forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, if we repent, if our heart turns. He is faithful even when we are faithless. We reject Him, we walk away, we turn away, we give, you know, we blow it totally, and we're thinking, I'm done, I'm gone, or maybe we just say, I don't care anymore. But God is still so faithful. He still continues to work in our life. He still continues to work to bring us back around because His desire is that we wouldn't perish. He wants to bring us home. He wants to bring you home. So He's going to purify us when we come to Him. It says He's faithful to forgive us our sins. So that means even though we were a sinner, again, even after we got saved and we became a sinner again, He is faithful to purify us and cleanse us from unrighteousness. So He's going to make us righteous again. The blood of Jesus hasn't lost its power. It's still cleansing. Because God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. His blood washing, His cleansing, the purifying that comes from the blood of Jesus that forgives our sins, it's faithful. God's faithfulness is what will create order in our lives. It's His faithfulness that upholds the whole universe. Remember what I said? He's the one who holds everything together. He's the one who holds this whole universe together. His faithfulness holds it all together. And not only does it hold it together, but it brings order because of that faithfulness. Because He's faithful, He's constantly setting things in order. He's bringing order. And whenever we turn to God, we can rest assured that God will begin this transformation process that He promised us through the Holy Spirit, and He will begin to bring order into our life, into each one of us as a person, into our marriage, into our family, into our friendships, into our church, into our workplace, into our neighborhood, and even into our nation. God wants order, godly order. And he's faithful to bring it about. If my people who hear my voice will humble themselves and pray, then he'll hear our prayer and heal our land. He's telling us right there, there's another promise. He'll heal our whole nation. If there were enough people on their faces praying for this country, this nation would be healed. The reason we're in so much trouble is because nobody cares. They don't care enough to really go before God, to take that time and to pray for this country of ours. Sure, I'm not saying nobody does. But the numbers have dwindled so much. God's going to have to bring us to our knees. Because I believe God wants to bless this nation. And he's just waiting to hear our prayers. And he's already told us he's faithful, and there's another promise. And he'll do the same thing with some type of problem you're having. He wants to bring that order in there. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly. In other words, don't give an inch, don't give up to the hope we profess, for those things that we're hoping for, the things that we say God will work in this. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Psalm 117:2. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. What a great word for us. The faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. He is faithful, and he will do it. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Today I was sort of just laying the foundation for faithfulness. We're seeing where this faithfulness comes from. It comes from God. He's our faithful. Jesus is the rock. God's word is faithful. And now that's our foundation that we can stand on. And next week what we're going to do is we're going to see how this fruitful faithfulness in us will be able to touch and change our life and the lives of many a people around us. God puts these fruit in us for a reason. He's going to do great things in you. As we grow in faithfulness, we're going to be an amazing witness to other people, and we're going to see great things happen in our life as we are faithful in doing those things. Faithfulness is it's a great thing. It's a great gift from God, a great fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much that you are a faithful God, that you have promised us that you're working in our lives, that you are sanctifying us, that you are changing us, and that you are faithful and that you will do it. Lord, we put our trust in you. Lord God, it's not our flesh, it's not our carnal nature that is going to work to perfect our carnal nature. It isn't going to happen, Lord God. We know that we have to step outside of this flesh. We need to turn ourselves over to you, Lord God. Allow you to have your way, to fill us up with your Spirit, Lord, that we might see the great things that you want to accomplish in our lives. Lord, help us to be faithful in all that we do, Lord God. Fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Fill us up with the fruit of your Spirit, with every good fruit. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. We do have coffee and donuts upstairs. Enjoy the rain today. Just remember, that's the Holy Spirit out there raining on us.